Greetings and Nyawishkana Gagwego. You're listening to Gino. If you're tuning in for the first time today, Gino is a Seneca word for music or song. I'm your host, Brett Maybe, and each week we take a listen to some incredible music from different indigenous artists from across Turtle Island. So for this next hour, you are simply invited to enjoy. Stephen Rushingwin of the Coahuila and Opata Nations is a man of many talents. Although he's played music for the majority of his life, being a career musician came about by accident. Already an accomplished sculptor and painter, Steve's neighbor, a music producer, heard him playing the native flute and asked if he'd be interested in recording. Although initially reluctant, he's since recorded about 10 albums. He's won 3 Native American Music Awards, is a Grammy voting member, and now touring is just another normal part of his routine. He has solo releases, CDs with his good friend Michael Mucklow, and now he's back with his second album with a Native Groove Band. Released March 1st of 2021, the album's called Defunk, and the title track is going to be kicking off our listening today. So turn it up, enjoy the music and the chat. You're listening to Gino. Some defunk to help get you going for this hour of great indigenous music. If you're just now tuning in, you're listening to Gino. It's your host, Brett Maybe, checking in with you. And I have a great friend on the line with me today. Very fortunate to have Stephen Rushingwin joining me today out there. And I think it's sunny California anyhow today.
Oh, it's pretty sunny out here today.
So I'll send some of that our way. We need some as well. The album that we're going to be listening to today is Defunk, and it was released March 1st of 2021. And it's great to have you back on today, Steve. It's been a long time. How you been?
Well, it's it's been a while. I've been doing okay, you know, despite all the hardships we're going through right now. I'm doing fine. You know, I'm just hiding, but I'm still making music.
That's fantastic. That's exactly, I think, what we need more of right now. You know. Steve, for the sake of the new listener out there, I was wondering if you could tell people a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, well, I've been a musician pretty much most of my life. I've been playing since I was a little kid. I played the drums, I played the flute, and then as I got older, I started playing the guitar around 13 years old, and then I was in a band, and I did all that, you know, stuff, and then I stopped for a while, and I focused on my artwork, a painting. I'm a painter, and then I got back into it and started you know, using the Native American flute, and next thing I know, I'm doing one album just for fun, and then it turned into a touring gig for over a decade, and I've been at it for quite a long time, and it wasn't something that I planned. It was just something that just fell in my lap, you know, because my neighbor was a producer. He was listening to me here play the flute one day, and he came up to me and said, "Hey, you want to do an album?" And I go, not really. I had no desire to do an album. You know, I said, "No, I'm good. I'm just painting in my studio, and then I like to play the flute now and then." But then he talked me into doing an album. So I did my very first album with him, and I was okay. I figured, well, it'll be a, you know, little coffee table conversation piece. And then he introduced me to Michael Mucklow, and he says, "Hey, you know, you guys should get together." So it took us probably 6 months before we even like started to do something together. And then he sent me a song, and I went, "Wow, we can really do this." And then next day I know, we came up with our first album, and then we got on a roll. Next day I know, we had two albums, three albums, four albums, and, you know, we won two NAMMYs together and a handful of Indian Summer Music Awards and New Mexico Music Awards. So we started, like, the next day I know, I'm touring, you know, and, you know, I still painted through all those years, but it was unusual to not want it. But it wanted me, I guess, because I went ahead and I toured, and I've been touring ever since. And just really comical. Some people fight to try to do it, and they have a hard time. And I didn't want it, yeah. But you know, it worked out really good, and I'm glad I did. And like I said, I'm probably a good 12 years now I've been at it. You know, so it's been quite an interesting life. Met a lot of nice people, including you. You know, a lot of other people too, as well. You know, it's been quite a journey. Let's just put it that way.
I'm a huge fan of kind of the synchronistic ways that life can take us into unexpected avenues and paths. And it actually kind of reminds me a little bit of my own foray into radio. I was a little bit reluctant to want to even do it. And, you know, it's not ever what I saw myself doing. I wanted to actually approach things a little bit more from, you know, the musical side or the creative side of music and everything like that. But here I am, and here we are talking, and pretty groovy when you sit back and kind of think about how it all works. Now you had mentioned that, you know, exactly. This was a little bit accidental, but you had been doing your other mixed media arts all throughout the years and whatnot. Do you tie in the musical side with the other kinds of arts?
Well, it's interesting. You know, that's a good question, because I don't purposely do it, but it really it goes hand in hand for me. It helps me create, like when I'm out on the road and like there for a while, I was like every week I was someplace else. But then when I'm home, I paint, and it really kind of like clears my head, and it gets me ready for like the next wave or whatever you want to call it. And vice versa, you know, because when you're painting, you have to be in your own head, and you have to be, and it's a very lonely type of art, because you're by yourself. It's a solo kind of a thing. But then when you're on the road, you have your bandmates, and as much as I love my bandmates, it gets a little hard. You know, you get on each other's nerves once in a while, or so that's okay, because you know, we're out and we're doing our thing. I come back in, I go into my studio, and it brings me to a space where I can like decompress and get ready. So it does work. It works both ways.
That's phenomenal. And I think one of the things when you're playing primarily instrumental music, and you know, you're not relying on something like lyrics to tell the story. In a sense, are kind of already painting and you know, with sound in this kind of, for instance, as well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly.
That provides the perfect opportunity to get back into the music and talk about this next instrumental we're going to hear. Waking Forest, take me a little bit through your process. Do you start with the theme, or do you let the music speak first and tell you kind of what it's going to be called and everything?
Yeah, that's pretty much it, the latter part where you said. Usually what it is that, you know, the music, once we're done with it, we ponder on it, and the name just comes out. It was me and Thomas Petranga, we did this album together. It was very organic. It started out with just little tunes here and there, and then next thing you know, I started adding my music, and then it kind of organically grew. So, 'cause a lot of times, you know, I don't want to use the word forced, but it is created in a more of structured way where, you know, we're doing it like in the studio or something. And this one was more like, what do you think of this? You know, like, okay, let me try it. And then we changed things around, but it was just the process was a little different, you know, and I really enjoyed it. I'll be honest with you. I like that free flowing feel, you know, not so structured kind of feel.
Well, it sounds like a great exercise in thinking outside the box, which I think is going to be a theme that we're going to continue to visit throughout our conversation today. Of course, the pandemic has forced us to think outside the box a little bit. And sometimes that's not quite so bad. We can come back and talk more in depth about Defunk in just a few. Now, for listeners out there, if you're just now tuning in, you're listening to Gyno. I'm your host, Brett Mabey, and today I'm joined on the line with my man, Stephen Rushing. When we're listening to Russian Wind and Native Grooves Defunk, released March 1st of 2021, where it's not going to be a fully instrumental day, but we are going to lean a little bit to the cooler side of jazz today. Before this hour is up, got some Jim Pepper coming your way. We're also going to hear from Crystal Shawanda. I do have a recommendation in this block from Steve, and it's from an artist that he's listening to. We're going to talk about Jason Chamacase. In the meantime, turn it up and enjoy this one from Rushing Wind and Native Groove. The song is Waking Forest, and you're listening to Gyno. Thank you.
after sunset, the lime breeze will still hold after made of love. Breathing starting too slow, and in the traffic are far enough away. And blowing in the rain. Well, I don't know just what I did to deserve such clarity. But all I know is life is too short for you to hide from me. From outside the car, I know you don't wanna go, but no kiss could compare to the likes of yours. Baby, roll with me like a
Hi, this is Mark Marilyn, and you're listening to Gyno. Thank you.
Midnight at Clearwater from Jason Chamacase. Steve, Russian Wind's recommendation today. If you're just now tuning in, you're listening to Gynote with Brad Mabee. And Steve has been kind enough to join me on the line today. We're having a discussion about all of his incredible art. He is a mixed media artist. He does sculptures, paintings. He never really intended to be a working touring musician, but life has a funny way of taking us into unintended directions. And I'm certainly glad he did. He's a three-time Native American Music Award winner. In addition, he's a Grammy voting member, and we're going to dive a little bit deeper into this particular album in this block. And I'm looking forward to kind of picking your brain a little bit, Steve. So D-Funk, all right, Rushing Wind and Native Groove, this is not your first release. I believe it's the second or third now?
Second. Yeah, our second as Native Groove, yeah. It was our first one, Swaggle.
As time goes on a little bit more, you really, I guess, develop this relationship. And I think, you know, if I'm understanding you correctly, as we were mentioning in the first block, this time you kind of went about its construction a little bit different, and it took a little bit of a different approach, huh?
Yes. Yeah, it was quite different. It was a different feel. You know, I think the pandemic had a lot to do with that, to be honest with you, because we wrote it during this pandemic. I mean, we weren't like other albums we've done in the past. Like I'll give you an example, like Fuego. You know, we actually spent I was over in Pennsylvania and Philadelphia area, and we actually sequestered our the whole band for like about a week and a half. We did the whole album, and then we all flew to San Francisco and recorded it, the El Cerrito Studios. And that was how we did that one. But, you know, like I said, it wasn't during the pandemic. It was, everything was open.
Yeah.
But what's interesting, though, we all got, almost the whole band got sick.
Oh.
And it's really interesting because when we were done recording, we picked up some kind of a bug, which was probably like the H1N1, whatever.
Yeah.
And we were all sick for over a month.
Ooh.
And we got hit pretty hard. And I'll never forget that. And it's kind of ironic, you know, here we're making this album during the pandemic and none of us really got sick, you know, knock on wood. But the one we did before, we all did get sick, you know, so quite interesting.
Absolutely. You know, I originally wanted to talk a little bit more about the pandemic later, but, you know, let's put this out on the table right now. It was tough. Yeah.
You know, I tell you, it was some of the most difficult things I had to go through, because I had usually I don't start touring till like March, April, but last year, 2020, it started off with a bang. I went to Tucson, I went to Yuma, and I had gigs lined up already. I was going to go to Florida and play, and when the pandemic hit in March, which is, you know, I had already been on tour already, and it just stopped, and everything got canceled. You know, the whole thing got canceled out. And what was interesting was that at first I was just kind of like, I was very nervous, really, really, you know, scared and what's going to happen. So what I did is I got into my artwork, my other artwork. But then at the same time, you know, I was approached by Thomas Matranga. He's a great guitarist, one of my band members. And he goes, hey, let's just do an album. You know, okay. So, you know, I did a couple Zoom performances and that helped a lot. But not going on tour really was super, super hard. I don't know about other musicians out there, but I had a really hard time with it. I'm going to say it affected me pretty hard.
Sure. You mean, yeah, like your level of happiness and whatnot?
Yes. Level of happiness. You know, it kind of threw me for a loop a lot, and it took me a couple months to kind of like, you know, understand what was going on, because it really was like, remember in the beginning, it was very confusing. Nobody really knew answers, and of course even today we still don't know all the answers, but we still, at that time, we didn't know anything. And you know, it felt like the days when, I remember back in the days when AIDS first came out.
Sure.
I remember it was like, we didn't know how people were getting it. We know, we had an idea, but we didn't know how you can catch it. So it was kind of like that. It was just thrown off a little bit. So it was almost like hiding, you know, and It affected me quite a bit, you know, in that sense.
Steve, you strike me as an incredibly introspective person who has this ability to be able to take challenging situations and kind of see the silver linings, if you will. What are some of the takeaways, lessons, if you will, that you've gained through the pandemic?
Well, you know, that's a good question, and thank you for that, because I do feel that it helped me get into myself. It taught me a lot about who I am. And that was the thing that struck me the most, was the fact that, you know, getting through this was one thing. But not able to perform in front of crowds was hard for me, because I really enjoyed doing that. Mm-hmm. What it helped me was to get into my own head, my own soul, and find out, you know, what I can do with this time. And I learned, that I can actually, I can survive almost like in almost any condition. I really do feel that way now. And it helped me to see what I'm made out of, you know, and it did. I started honing in my skills as a fine art painter, and then it taught me to, to like work on an album during a pandemic, and not just sit down and do nothing. Sure. I did a couple of matchstick sculptures that I did for a museum, and it gave me a lot of life lessons that I never thought I'd ever have to go through. And it also gave me what's important in life. Mm-hmm. And I realized family's really important. As much as music's important in my life, family's also important. And I didn't realize, how important it was until this all happened. There was a lot of days and nights that, waking up in cold sweats and anxiety level was pretty high and things like that. And you have to get through it. I remember, my dad always told me, that, you can do any, no matter what situation you're in, you can make it good, no matter what it is. And he was in World War II, and he had situations in his life where it was pretty bleak. And he said that he learned to make a bad situation and find something good out of it. And that taught me, how to deal with this pandemic. I really did use that, those words my dad taught me on that. And I did, and it helped me get through this. It really did.
I think it's incredible that you were able to take these challenging situations and turn it into great transformative art. I wanted to come back and talk a little bit more about future plans. In the meantime, we're going to get back into the listening. I got Jim Pepper's Wichitaito coming up in this block. Also one from DeJanag, Grenadier, Medeski, and Schofield. But kicking things off, we're going to get back into the listening from Rushing Wind and Native Groove's latest release. It's their sophomore album, Defunct, released March 1st of 2021. And the song that's kicking off this block right now is Devil's Peak. Do yourself a favor and turn it up and get into the groove with Rushing Wind and Native Groove today on Gynome.